You might have noticed in the corner of the sanctuary, we have a book laid out, the Book of the Dead. We've entered into the month of All Souls, the month where we remember particularly the souls in purgatory. Right on when we die, we will come before Almighty God, and if we have lived for Him and we were died in the state of grace without mortal sin on our souls, but we still have venial sins or temporal punishments from sins on our souls, we will be cleansed in purgatory because the book of Revelation says nothing unclean shall enter heaven. So we remember our loved ones who have gone before us. We should always remember them, but particularly during the month of November. So you can write the names of your loved ones in the book, and we'll pray for them at each Mass, specifically in this month. So I don't know about you, but as we get older in life, it seems more difficult to make friends than when we were younger. I mean, I remember when I was in elementary school, I mean, I could make friendships so quickly, and that have lasted to this very day. Yet after college, when I left my friendships that I'd formed over the years to enter into seminary, I realized I had to start all over again with friendships, since I didn't know anyone in the seminary. And to be frank, I found this difficult at first. Making friends wasn't as easy as I remembered, now that we were adults. I found that we had to be intentional about making friendships. Otherwise, they just did not happen, or they did not last. One of my closest friends now is Father Michael Pica, who is a priest in Illinois. He was in seminary with me. We liked the same music, so we'd make it a point to stop at each other's rooms and listen to music together when we weren't studying. Now, we were both crazy, and we liked to run for fun. So we trained for a marathon together, which, by the way, I've mentioned this before, he ended up getting injured right before the race, so I had to run it by myself. That's a homily for another day. Today, our friendship is firmly established, and as priests, we actually call each other every Tuesday morning or so to check in and see how the other's doing. We made that decision before we were ordained in order to support each other through, hopefully, right, many years of priesthood. This way, our friendship has maintained despite being 7 hours away from each other. We recognize now that if we were not intentional about it while we were in seminary, and if we aren't intentional about it now, well, our friendship would not grow or last. And you know what? The same principle applies to our friendship with Christ. In the gospel this morning, our Lord denounces, you could say, the counterfeit piety of the scribes. The scribes were professional lawyer theologians and were among the most eminent members of the Jewish society of Christ's day. Now, Christ was not denouncing scribes in general. I mean, in fact, he praises another one in another passage of the gospel. Instead, he was critiquing their hypocritical behavior, as they were supposed to be models for others to imitate, yet they were being just the opposite. Therefore, Christ points to a poor widow to use as a model for his disciples to imitate. Now, this is important to understand. Widows at this time, we have to remember, had no inheritance rights in order to support themselves, and usually had to rely on their children, male relatives, or protection and vindication by God. I mean, after all, the scriptures speak multiple times of God's love and watchful care for widows. This particular widow donates 2 small coins into the temple treasury. Now, in the original Greek of St. Mark's Gospel, Mark identifies this coin as a specific type. And it was the smallest Roman coin that there was. And in our standards, it was only worth a couple cents. Now, remember, our Lord says that these coins were all that she had. The fact that the widow gave 2 of these coins suggests that she did not spare even what she could justifiably have kept for herself, revealing her heart in the matter. Christ there explains that this woman has been more generous than all the other contributors. You see, the others, especially the scribes, had contributed to the needs of the temple from their surplus money, their overflow. Further, the scribes did it to impress others by their generosity. Yet this woman had not given her surplus, but all that she had, her whole livelihood. Her gift then meant that she would now have to rely on God even to provide for her very next meal. As we know, such reckless generosity would parallel Christ's self-emptying generosity of his death on the cross. This action of hers, the giving of all her money, was an act of faith in God that would indirectly help her rely on him more. Her actions showed, in contrast to the scribes, that her treasure was not found in earthly possessions, but in her faith in God. Now, in our own day, by now, we know we too, of course, are called to put our faith in Christ above that of our earthly possessions, right? We hear about this all the time. Though, in reality, that obviously is much simpler said than done. And frankly, what does that even mean in our normal day-to-day lives? Are we supposed to renounce all that we have, like the widow did? I mean, the short answer is no, not necessarily. Right? Not all of us are called to radical poverty. Yet, we are all called to have a radical faith in our Lord, like the widow. Our faith in our Lord should be strong enough that if need be, we'd give him all that we owned. Further, our faith should be strong enough that we give him our hearts in love, so that we want to put him first in our day-to-day lives over competing factors such as money, relationships, and sins we'd like to commit. Yet, the faith that gives itself entirely to our Lord, a rooted faith, is not something that just appears in our souls overnight. Right? It would be wonderful, but we don't go to bed one night and wake up the next morning as Mother Teresa. That's just not how it works. Faith is what we call a theological virtue. In other words, it's a gift from God. We cannot gain it merely on our own, like other natural virtues. Faith, further, must be constantly grown and renewed. For example, perhaps we had a strong faith in God when we were young, but now it's pretty surface level, or just going through the motions, especially with all the recent scandals in the life of the church. Or maybe because of a certain tragedy in our lives, it's weak. Our faith, therefore, needs to be nourished, especially during times of inner struggle or mediocrity. In fact, we actually have a duty to nourish and defend our faith in our everyday lives. I mean, after all, that's how relationships work. Our Lord is always desiring us to grow closer to him, even in the midst of difficulty. Right? To use an example from everyday life, if two friends hardly speak to each other, they're not going to grow any closer. That's just not how it works. Yet how do we do this in regards to Christ? How do we grow in our faith? Well, I think there are many ways. But a simple way is by making little acts of faith. After all, faith builds upon faith. Think of it like a muscle in our body. A muscle needs to be exercised in order to grow. The more we use our faith by doing little acts of faith, the more it's going to deepen. In other words, if we are faithful in small ways, we will slowly be able to be faithful in big ways, like the widow in the gospel. And then, when the big waves of life hit us, like family tragedy, or sickness, or a loss in job, or whatever it may be, our faith will be rooted, and we will be willing to give our all to our Lord in that moment. Okay. So what are some concrete examples of acts of faith that we can do? Well, first we must think, what is the last concrete thing we did in order to actually grow in love with our Lord? When was the last time we took time in our day to pray to our Lord? Not because we were in worry or need, mind you, but simply to grow closer to him, even if it be only for a minute or two. Prayer is everything. Now, if you want examples of prayer other than when you're at your house, okay, how about when was the last time we stopped by the church during a free day to make a visit to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Remember that this church is open from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. every day.
Simply showing up before our Lord in the tabernacle is a great but simple sign of love and faith. There's a story, I've told this before, of John Vianney. John Vianney was a patron saint parish priest who lived in the 1700s. He'd get up at 4 a.m. and go over to the church to pray, and there'd be a farmer on his way to the fields. And the farmer would always stop in the church, he'd kneel at the altar rail, and just sit there in silence. And John Vianney would see this man every day come in and then leave to go to work. And finally, John Vianney said, "What are you saying to our Lord?" And the man said to him, "I'm not saying anything. I'm looking at my God, and he is looking at me." Now, for those who are available during the week, we also have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament on Wednesdays, right? From 8 a.m. till 5, before the evening Mass. It's a time when the Eucharistic host is taken out of the tabernacle so we may pray directly before our Lord. And even if you can't stay for Mass that night, making a visit to Adoration during the day is a beautiful way to increase our faith in Christ's real presence in the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith. Further, it gives us a time to vent to our Lord about what's going on in our life, whether it be a financial burden, problem with a spouse, sickness, whatever it may be. I mean, let's be real. There's always something to bring to the Lord, and there's no better place to do it than being in front of him in the Blessed Sacrament. And for those who work during the week, we're soon going to be adding adoration hours in the evening as well. Stay tuned to the end of Mass. Now, one of the most underused gifts of our Catholic faith, and if you're around me long enough, you'll hear me talk about this, is daily Mass. Sure, it's not Sunday Mass, so there's no obligation to attend, but remember, love goes beyond duty. For those who are able, daily Mass brings so much peace to our day. Just ask anyone who attends daily Mass. I love daily Mass, now I'm human, because it's short, simple, and to the point. Yet it helps us fall more in love with Christ every day. And as we know, Mass here is every day at 5:15. That enables those who get off work at 5 to be able to make it. On Wednesday mornings, it's at 7 a.m. as well. Let's be real. Anyone can make it to 7 a.m. Mass if they desire. It's a great way to start the day before work or class. Not to toot her own horn, but before work, my mom goes to 6:30 a.m. Mass every day, including Saturdays. I sincerely encourage you to try to make it to daily Mass one day a week, if you're able. Stopping into the church, making it to adoration, coming to daily Mass. These examples are simple, but concrete ways to make small little acts of faith. And there are so many more, of course, right? But if we do some, our Lord is going to bless our faith and expand it. Because that's how relationships work. If we are intentional with him, he is always intentional with us. We cannot expect our faith to grow if we do not engage in it on a personal level. And I had to learn this through my friendship with Father Michael. We had to be intentional in order to grow in our friendship. Since our human friendships model our friendship with our Lord, or should, the same applies to us with Christ. We should never be afraid to give ourselves to our Lord. He gave himself to us in love, and we know we can trust him to provide for all that we need. The widow gave her all to our Lord by giving all that she had financially. We should be willing to give our all to our Lord as well. And so we must ask ourselves, what new acts of faith can we do this week in order to give ourselves more completely to our Lord and come to rely on him better?